name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And they call me Heatmonger. Whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, A Year Without a Santa Claus. No, the Flash, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes of our Speedy series, which is rapidly coming to a close. Mr. Monger, is it?
Yes. Yeah. Can you imagine a CW version of A Year Without a Santa Claus? Just how much angst would be on this show?
Yes. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there actually is a live action version of A Year Without a Santa Claus, and I'm sorry that I revealed that to anybody that heard me. I don't know. I don't know if CW did it. I don't think they did. But anyway, well, you know what? Another different episode. I'm feeling pumped up about talking to you about this because I know there's a lot of mixed feelings out there about. Not, you know, this season in general too, but also, it seems for like from week to week, I see, I'll pull up a review or a discussion about the episode and there's people that were very disappointed by it. And then I'll pull up another one like, this was the best one of the season. So,
I look forward to kind of season. It
has been
divisive.
A divisive season. Yeah. And I, you know, of course, if you've listened to us talk long enough about this, you know that I'm a pretty easy guy to please. So I like to just, you know, enjoy what I'm watching. I just sit back and kind of relish in it. And you and I sit and analyze it and talk about it and come across the nuances and various points that may or may not have been as good as they could have been. But no matter what, I'm having a great time. I love the variety that we've got. When it's worked better than others, that's fine too. But it's just been kind of a nice little fun roller coaster, and it looks to be getting ready to go on the downhill speedy part here.
Right, and as bad as any one episode of this or any of the shows that you and I talk about on our three different podcasts, it's better because I get to talk to you about it. You know, I know we can have a good discussion even about the crappiest episode.
because true.
I mean, there is always something for somebody in it. I mean, I think you can always find that one nugget. Not that this is the crappiest of all the episodes. I mean, there was definitely good stuff going on here, but they're working with characters that have diminished themselves over the season. They've lost a lot of their steam, and I think we're going to talk about a little bit of what we see with them as we kind of hash this out.
Yeah, let's do it. So, well, tell us about this particular episode, so everybody kind of knows where we are in the season and what was going on, and then we'll start breaking it apart.
All right, so we are at the antepenultimate episode. That is the third to the last episode, 21 of season 3. Cause and Effect, originally aired May 9th, 2017. Let's see. This one was written by Judalina Neera and Lauren Certo and directed by David McWhorter. So Barry has a little sit down with the team. You know, hey, everyone, I've discovered who Savitar is. Okay, funny story, you know. But the team takes the news, you know, that they've been fighting a time remnant of Barry this whole time pretty well. Pretty well. Sisko comes up with a brilliant plan. No, wait. No, that was Sisko comes up with a pretty good plan. No. Sisko comes up with a plan? With a plan.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. It's a plan.
It was definitely a plan. So they're going to mess with Barry's brain just a little bit and take away some memory so Savitar won't know what to expect. Unfortunately, Caitlin is the expert in these kind of things, and she's not feeling like playing right now. So Barry's mind gets a little scrambled, a little Swiss cheesed, kind of like on on Quantum Leap there, and he doesn't remember anything. So while they try to figure that out, Barry tries to do his job at the CCPD, but that, of course, results in Heatmonger being released from jail. So Iris hangs out with him for a while, which turns out to be a lot of fun, you know, now that Barry isn't holding the weight of the world on his shoulders anymore. She may even want him to stay like this forever. A few lucky things fall into place, though. Tracy has a breakthrough on trapping Savitar, also thanks to HR and copious amounts of coffee. Killer right. Frost stops by to give the gang a hand. She's not being nice, though. She just doesn't like the new clueless Savitar. And, of course, when Heatmonger attacks again, the Flash, whether he has his memories or not, has to go help. Eventually, all this culminates into some return memories and a possible sparkle in Killer Frost's eye. Now they just need to figure out how to power this dang Speed Force bazooka. Speed Force bazooka.
You know what I was thinking about that bazooka? I know that we've seen HR kind of on the roof with this thing. At least we assume that's what it is. But I kind of want him to give it to Detective West so it can be like Bazooka Joe.
Well, one of us had to make that joke, I guess.
Hey, if any show's going to do it, that would fit fine.
It would be perfect. Yeah, because, of course, Cisco would call that one out. Yeah. I want this to happen now. This is – okay, I'm going to make a note here. I want this on Bazooka Joe on season finale.
There you go.
Nice.
So, Art, hey, wait. Now, before we talk about this episode, we have something very important to announce to everybody. All right?
Oh,
and don't worry. I'm not pregnant. I'm not.
Oh.
Don't worry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's not. It's not about me. No, it's actually about you guys. It's about the listeners. All right? We have the winners of our Flash pin contest, the Flash pins from fan sets.
Yay.
We've taken the names of all the entrants. We've put them in Jay Garrick's helmet, and we've spun them around a little bit. Actually, a lot, you know, because we have speedsters that can do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we have picked the three people that will be receiving the Flash pin from fan sets.
Right. Okay? And how did we pick them?
Oh, you mean how they entered stuff?
Well, we randomly chattered, picked them. There we go.
Oh, there you go. There, so you set me up for that, and I blew it. All right. Okay. So anyway, I'm gonna announce the names here. So we got Mike, whose Twitter handle is Sith Youth Pastor.
Sith Youth Pastor. That is. I don't know if that's the kind of guy I want pastoring my youth, but.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. I agree with that. But, well, congratulations to Mike either way. Also, we have Mark, who is Tappenden 66.
Yep.
And then Jared, whose Twitter name is Nerdish J. Yeah. So congratulations to all three of you. Now, hey, if you haven't already gotten in touch with us, we've let you know that you have won. Look for a message from us on Twitter. Go over to Twitter, look for direct message, and we'll get you all set up, okay? And, hey, for those of you that entered but didn't win this pin, thank you so much for trying. We really, really appreciate you kind of playing along with us and having fun. But I do want to let you know that you can still get a Flash pin later on this summer from fansets.com. So make sure you keep following us on social media and fan sets as well. And I'm sure that we'll have more of these giveaways in the future. I'm really excited to be working with fan sets on their awesome product.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing. If you guys haven't checked them out, I think we talked about this last week. But you can go see a bunch of the other cool pins that they've got coming up later in their basically their second wave. Well, the first wave was just Arrow. I think that was kind of just to test it out, see how the CW or the DC TV stuff works. But besides Flash, we're getting, let's see, who else? Adam, Firestorm, Martian Manhunter, Supergirl, Black Canary, and then Oswald Cobblepot and Selena Kyle from Gotham, I think. So quite a set to start with here. And so you can you can buy any of those from fansets.com. And yeah, keep looking in the future, and I'm sure we'll be doing something maybe over the summer, maybe beginning of next year, something like that. We'll have to see.
Yeah, keep an eye on it. It's they're great things. And you know, I was thinking those of you out there that have to wear lanyards at work, I got to wear a lanyard every day at work. These things look really cool on lanyards. My students love them.
Huh.
So
lanyards, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a horrible idea. Now I'm going to be walking around with like 16 lanyards of all these pins.
No. You rotate them. You rotate them. See?
Then
it's different all the time. You can get a nice little variety. I change them out every week. You know, I'll take one off and replace it because I got myself a nice little collection going on now.
You're so organized.
No, that's what I do instead of work, so it's okay.
Oh, got it.
Hey, and then we had one other story I kind of want you to share a little bit of information about, because we may have mentioned this earlier this season about a new series that they were hoping to pick up called Black Lightning.
Yeah.
Based on the comic character, of course. So, and now we have a little bit of information about the future of Black Lightning.
Yeah, I think we might have mentioned it because Greg Berlanti is the executive producer on it again, just like with Supergirl and The Flash here. But this was going to be a Fox TV show. They were developing it for Fox to kind of go with Gotham, I guess. And I'm not really sure what all the details are, but all of a sudden last week, I guess the CW showed some interest in getting a pilot for it. And this week they just said, forget about it. We're just going to order it straight to series. So this went from being a show potentially on Fox to getting at least a half a series order on the CW. So next season, look for Jefferson Pierce, Black Lightning, to be joining the rest of the superheroes on the CW. Now, it's not confirmed that he's going to be in the same universe as Supergirl and Flash and Arrow and all the Legends and stuff, but there's probably a pretty good chance that he will be. I can't see why they wouldn't at this point.
Yeah, I can't either. And, you know, that opens it up to other possibilities that I'm hoping don't interfere with any of the seasons next year, is just having some kind of crossover. Or, you know, at this point, I'm leaning towards just having guest appearances as opposed to crossovers. And,
right.
And not to say that I haven't enjoyed them thoroughly, but when you get too many, you just it runs the risk of causing troubles with overall storylines, you know, story threads throughout a season. So, and we've kind of seen that on Arrow. We've seen that on Flash a little bit, I think. But, hey, you know what? Like I said, I'm having a great time talking about this, and I trust the writers will have some more good stuff for us next season. So let's talk about this season.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about cause and effect.
Okay. You say cause, I say effect.
Cause.
Effect.
Yeah, that wasn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be. But, no, so in this little chicken and the egg story here, we got to see if we can somehow figure out how to break this down. Because this is a complex idea.
I mean, who came first? Time Remnant, Barry, or Savitar? At some point, there had to be an entrance into this causality loop here that they've set up, or this, you know, infinity loop that they've set up. But time travel, man. It's just it's impossible to explain.
Hey, that's right. Well, you know, he does. He does explain it a little bit. He says cause and effect's a tricky thing, right? He says that the more you do it, the less the rules apply to you.
Well, the more you time travel, yeah, exactly.
That's right. The more you he said it didn't work out so well for Eddie, right?
Right.
Eddie shot himself in the chest. Thank you, Eddie. Hey, look, actually Thawne's still around. Great. Super. But hey, you know, who's to say what would have happened if he hadn't done that? So, but let's talk a little bit about this week's episode. It started off kind of freaky dark, you know, because it just basically left off from last week when Barry is confronting Barry and talking about kind of what happened, you know, monologuing a little bit to explain his evil plot and things.
Right.
But then after they decided it would be a good idea to take his memory. I'm sorry, I can't say that with a straight face.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
I haven't. Well, anyway, it got a little lighthearted and a little more happy for like the season one when he was first learning his powers and he was happier and you know, he didn't have the weight of the world on his shoulders. I thought Grant Gustin did a really good job of portraying yet another side to Barry Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the last few weeks, we've seen, you know, the season three Barry Allen. We've seen the brooding goth Barry Allen. We've seen the scarred Savitar Barry Allen. And now we've seen kind of the happy-go-lucky, hey, you know, this is a pretty cool life. Yeah, that's fine. Look, I have a girlfriend. I didn't have to do anything. And it was a totally different side. And you could see what one of the things that has appealed to us about this series in general is that lightheartedness.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's just me and you. I think that's pretty.
I think that's a lot of people are talking about that. And this episode kind of made me realize, you know, I was watching it and I'm like, oh, this is fun. You know, he's kind of goofy and dorky again. And it's silly, you know, cause he's forgotten who everybody is and he's kind of having to relearn. I had to kind of divorce myself from, wait a second, like, so he remembers stories about people's kidneys being stolen, but he doesn't know who any of these people are. So, you know, I'm like, that's just weird, right? You know, it's just these weird random things that he remembers. But, okay, so forgetting all that, it, you know, the lightheartedness and stuff really kind of, for me at least, underscored the fact that this episode, and this part of the season and where the show has been going has gotten so dark that this is very contrasting, even just within the episode, like you pointed out, from the beginning of the episode to the second act. And it makes me feel, you know, like that something's missing now because we've lost that. And that's a danger that I think these shows get into. They want to change and they want to evolve. But if they don't keep that core element that fans come for, and you know, my case, the Flash is just he's a lighter character. He's supposed to be fun. He's not supposed to be all brooding and dark like Oliver Queen or like Bruce Wayne. He's a jokester kind of guy, and that's who I've kind of gotten used to as the Flash. And he's heroic, you know, and he always seems to know what to do and when to do it. And I understand, you know, we're learning about Barry being the Flash here, and maybe next season will be the one where he kind of grows and gets to become that ultimate version of the Flash, or maybe they're holding off for season 5 or something like that. But it really just kind of showed what was missing, I felt, and that made me think so. Sad.
And I also, you know, on the flip side of that, I also think that you do need to have characters go through realistic changes when big events happen in their life, you know, whether it's a tragedy or a happy event. You have to have them react to those experiences in a realistic way. Or number one, you know, it gets kind of tedious seeing the same exact thing over and over. And number two, you stop buying into the characters if they're not reacting the way they would in real life or a real person would react. So right. That gets hard when a series starts extending itself over the years, because you do want to keep that core element, and yet you want to do something different and new and exciting that gets people to come back. So I have said it before, and not just on this show, but I'm very glad that they continue to try to evolve and experiment with new things. And I am not over this series at all, even if season 3 wasn't my favorite one. I've had a great time because now I get to figure out why, you know, Angry Barry went Cocoa Puffs here and became Savitar.
Right. Well, let me just add one other thing in. I do agree that you've got to try new things and you have to do new things with your show. And I think that's why you bring in new characters and stuff. But you still need to be true to the and keep the even if your main character is changing, which they should be learning and growing and evolving, there still needs to be that part of the character that, you know, you want to keep there for the show, you know, and this case, you know, it's what makes Barry Allen, Barry Allen. And,
oh yeah.
And they're doing that again, to an extent, because even if he can't remember who he is, he knows that he has to help people. And, you know, that's been a really strong theme of the series. Barry, you know, regardless of cost, wants to help people. And that's like his ultimate purpose. So that may be their overarching theme for this character. And then anything else is kind of up for grabs.
Yeah. So what you're saying is the Battlestar Galactica never should have gotten to Earth. That's really what you're saying, right?
Exactly. That was a horrible, horrible idea.
Yes, it was.
We're talking about Galactica 1980, right?
Oh, yes, of course. Okay. Yes. Yes. Disco Galactica. That's right. All right. Well, let's talk about this, because he says to himself that he needs two things. He needs two things to become Savitar.
Yes.
He needs well, number one, I need Iris to die, and that's coming soon. And B, I'm not going to tell you that one. okay. Now, first of all, what? He's doing that thing again, you know, where bad guys, they really do want to tell the good guy, or at least they want him to try to figure out.
I don't need to tell you this. Yeah, I mean, but what's interesting is I think he's given the clue. And if there are any smart listeners out there, maybe you figured it out. I just haven't put this together yet, because he says it's actually ironic, he says, given who I'm talking to. So when he says, so what's the second thing? It's ironic, given to whom I'm talking to. So, okay, he's talking to himself. He's talking to Barry, who's a speedster, who's got speed. Like, he keeps secrets from friends. I don't know. I'm at a loss.
So you're saying you're not sure what it is. You think that's the clue.
I think that's the clue, because that's the follow-up line,
sure.
But I'm not sure what it is.
Okay, so I had a thought about this. I'm not sure how much this follow-up line gives this, you know, is it being a clue to this. But the one thing I thought that he would have to do is, look, all Barry would really have to do, well, I say all he has to do, it usually is more complicated than that. But in order to stop Savitar from being created is to not create time remnants of himself. If he doesn't create time remnants of himself, it stops the loop, right? So if he just decides in trying to beat Savitar, don't create time remnants.
So it'll be like,
okay,
Bill and Ted be like, Bill, remember to tell yourself not to do this. And it's like, okay. And then boom, it just happens. It'll just be instantaneous because he remembers.
Right. But so this is my thought. What if the second thing is somehow getting him to make those time remnants, you know, like putting him in some kind of a speed loop or something where you know, he has no control over it, or doing something where he's forced to create these time remnants, or he has no choice, right? So that's the only other thing I could think of that he would need to become Savitar, because he's you know, we know about the Iris thing. He told us about that, and we've seen that happen, and obviously we know what results of that could be.
That makes a lot of sense. I get it, because it's ironic given who he's talking to, because he's talking to the original and he is the time remnant. So, I think that makes a lot of sense. But also, it's not time remnants that he creates next week. If we're talking about time remnants he creates 4 years in the future when they try to put Savitar into the Speed Force, when Tracy really uses the whatever it is she's created at that point, you know, in the future. But now we're potentially moving everything up 4 years because she's now got this canon ready for, well, almost ready for, not next week, but in 2 weeks. That's what I meant, in season finale.
Right. I don't know. I don't know.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to answer questions, and we're going to be like, huh? And there will be more questions on the other side of those.
Well, of course, that's what makes it fun. Yeah. You know, I mean, I hope so. I hope so, because that'll give us more stuff to talk about, of course. And I do like having some answers, but I don't mind when it creates more answers after that.
More questions.
More questions. Excuse me. Yeah. So, but now I think I know the answer to this question, but I kind of want to get your take on it. So why exactly does Iris need to die? What's going on with that? I mean, this is Barry that's killing Iris, and I get that he's a little loopy from circumstances and from things that have happened to him, but what exactly is it that makes it important for him to kill Iris?
Well, I mean, I think as they mentioned in this episode, and as we saw in last week's episode where they went into the future, or was that 2 weeks ago? Whatever. When they went into the future, Iris dies, and that's the catalyst that drives the wedge between Barry and everybody else, so that he becomes, despondent and is in a state where, you know, he doesn't care, or he doesn't have his family anymore around him, basically to weaken him. I mean, that's really the biggest thing. And I think that's kind of what they've been talking about a lot this season, is that.
Well, we definitely saw how it broke him when he went into the future, and how much it would affect him, obviously.
Right. If we believe that's still going to happen as well, which I think
right. That's
think
what
it
I was going
to
say. I mean, but now that he knows that, you know, I think he's, I don't want to say come to terms with it, but you know, I mean, he's at least understands that if the unthinkable happens, he needs to stay strong and, you know, be a family, be a team, continue to show the love of his friends and family. And so to me, it seemed like that was just the desperation moment to ultimately, like you said, kind of weaken him or put him down the wrong path.
Right.
That would end up creating Savitar. But I'm not sure if that's the catalyst for making the time remnants, or if it has something to do with the second thing that that he told him he has to do, wouldn't reveal. So then my other thought about this whole season has been about the consequences of Flashpoint and about Barry going back and changing time. And we know certain things from the comic book series or the TV, you know, the animated movie. Mm-hmm. We know those things in those stories, but those are separate, and those don't have to necessarily influence this TV series. They've obviously, you know, given nods to that and used that as a basis. But what if Savitar himself has caused a lot of these consequences? Because we know that Savitar has gone throughout time, making himself the self-proclaimed god of speed, you know, going and acquiring all these acolytes as, in distant pasts. Mm-hmm. And maybe even stealing Speedster's speed and ability to get stronger.
Sure. We don't know.
So what if as he was going through time, you know, he is in that Flashpoint and causes some of these things to happen to Barry, causes Caitlin to become Killer Frost, causes Julian Albert to appear, causes these other people to get their powers after Flashpoint. Could it be that this wasn't all Barry's fault? Well, that's still Barry, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, we have to look at it as two separate characters now. I understand that.
Yeah, in order to get to this point where he can be created as Savitar. So it's kind of that infinite loop that Sisko was drawing on their, you know, on their whiteboard there.
So, you know, I guess in answering your question, I'm going to have to ask another question, because you said you like questions in response to other questions.
Sure, go for it. And there's no answers to this anyway. Right. This is just me and you guessing. But
you know, originally, would Flashpoint have existed when Savitar was created? Like, did Flashpoint always exist? Or did Flashpoint only exists in this last iteration of the time loop, whatever is going on. So you do have to wonder, is it a confluence of Barry and Savitar doing something that created Flashpoint that Barry then gets out of? And as you said, then Savitar was doing some meddling in it. Or in the original timeline, I guess, it's, and who's to know what's original anymore, you know, because stuff kind of keeps overwriting itself. We're not really getting alternate timelines. We're just kind of rewriting what currently happened, but we kind of also do have to understand what happened originally. Like when, like the episode where Barry went back in time one day and he stopped the tsunami and everything and stopped Sisko from getting killed. We have to know that that happened because that's important for our characters, but it didn't happen as far as everyone's concerned. So, you know, did Savitar just, you know, live his life at one point up to this point? I don't know, Josh. This is
You mean as a separate thing and he became Savitar? I think he was created as a time remnant, and that was when he was sort of born. It was this new Barry. Even if he did have some of those memories.
But when the time remnant was created in his past, in that Barry Allen's past, was there a Flashpoint originally? I guess that's the question. So does the time remnant have Flashpoint? And I guess he probably does, because every time Barry's been changing the timeline by creating Flashpoint, he's creating memories for himself. And at that point, that Barry is going to evolve into that time remnant at some point. It also, you know, I just one other little aside here. I don't know that we want to really get into this now, but I mean, time remnant rights. It's like talking about clones. I used to not really give a big thought about clones, but then all of a sudden with Attack of the Clones from Star Wars and the Clone Wars, you start seeing these, you know, what you've kind of just thought your entire life is just a copy of somebody. It really doesn't mean anything. You know, these are actually people too. And I can't imagine that Barry and team would be so cruel to.
That's what I was going to say.
Of Barry. I don't know.
I can't either. I can't imagine them snubbing him. They haven't snubbed anybody. I mean, even when some of those somebodies have turned out to be pretty bad people, you know, they didn't snub Julian, and look what Julian was doing at the beginning of the season. Well, he didn't even know he was doing
right. And last year, when he created the time remnant to help stop Zoom that they talked about at the beginning of this episode, it died. He died, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, that was, you know, amazing. And why did he do that? And it's like, you know, Barry's like, well, because that's what he knew he needed to do. It's like that nobility and, you know, that heroism is still part of Barry. I mean, there is no difference between Barry and the time remnant. They are the same. And the fact
that's why
this one is so broken. I don't know. There's something else. I think there's something else going on with that.
Well, that's what I was thinking. That's why I said he's kind of crazy. So I don't know if, you know, maybe he doesn't. Maybe the time remnant doesn't get the Savitar doesn't just let the time remnant live. Maybe he gets like sucked into the Speed Force for a long time, and that's when he kind of goes crazy and loses a lot of that.
Oh, maybe the time remnant. It gets stuck in the Speed Force like Wally was.
Yeah. You know, something that causes him to kind of lose that Barry-like attitude.
And then he tries to come back and hang out with the team, and they're like, no, dude, you're ugly. You got a scar.
How come he's not healing, by the way?
I don't know.
I guess it depends on what caused it.
Well, if the Speed Force did that to him, could he heal from that the same way? Yeah. I don't know. That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
I thought about that as soon as I saw his scar. But and, you know, a lot of this stuff, like I said, a lot of this stuff is going to be for convenience of the story. It's not going to make logical scientific sense.
Yeah.
So whether Neil deGrasse Tyson likes it or not, it's really just for entertainment purposes. And they're going to put in things there that fit.
Yeah, that dude just needs to take a chill pill. I totally respect him as a scientist, but – Come on, let us have our summer movies.
Yeah, jeez, it's just entertainment. I mean, come on, come on. Yeah, I like him too. Matter of fact, I'm wearing one of his shirts right now. But all right, now, so how do they defeat Savitar? So Tracy Brand has her – she's got this big breakthrough, right?
Yeah.
And she realizes something thanks to HR being there. Once again, you know, HR does
have – HR did a great job. I was really proud of him just, you know, as kind of a manager. You know, he was really honestly helping out. I thought it was cool.
He really is. Like I said, I think I said this last week. He's just grown on me as a character. I'm digging it. And he is, you know, the comic relief for sure. But it's fun and it works and it keeps the show lighthearted. So she's got this bazooka. I like him coming up with a name for the bazooka thing. My other thought about stopping Savitar. And, you know, because he knows all of Barry's memories. So why not come up with a plan that Barry doesn't know? You know, I mean, don't tell Barry the entire plan. And that's why I was thinking maybe that's why HR is up on the roof. My other thought, and I think you and I have even speculated that this might happen, is that that is not truly Iris. And neither Barry, so Savitar or the Flash,
yeah,
don't know that that is not really Iris.
Oh, it's her time remnant.
So it's, well, it could be a time remnant. It could be some kind of a holographic thing. I mean, I don't know how they would do that. So, so realistically, yeah. I guess. But hey, I mean, it's Star Labs. They can come up with anything on the fly, right?
Right.
But so I'm just saying it could be something. Ooh, a time remnant, though. I like that idea. It could be something that the team is not telling him, so he won't know, and he won't have memories of all that.
Yeah, so this is what I was thinking, because I had the exact same idea. Where was it? I think it was after they – no, it was before they got rid of Barry's memory. Barry – somebody asked him a question and he didn't answer it. I think Joe asked him something and he just kind of walks out. He changes the subject and he walks out. And then Cisco kind of says, we need to come up with a plan. And I feel like because Barry had left the room, they're making a plan right there. And what the plan turns out to be at this point, we think it's, we're going to erase his memory and do all this kind of quirky stuff, and that Tracy is accelerating her process and building this bazooka. But my problem was really the bazooka came together way so fast. It was just like, I mean, I understand it's not that she takes 4 years to build it. She doesn't come up with all of her ideas until later in the future. So, you know, that's why she builds it in the future. So maybe it's possible that they could have figured this thing out. But I think what they're doing is just building something that looks really good. They're selling Barry a whole list of goods right now. We've got this cannon. You've got to get this power source. So that's, of course, wacky. And it seems like next week they've got to jump through a bunch of hoops to get that, which are, you know, dangerous. But that's not really the plan that they're going to use to stop Savitar, because if Savitar knows everything Barry knows, Barry can't know really what the plan is, because otherwise Savitar is going to know what the plan is. So regardless of whether or not that's Iris, I think there's an alternate plan. I just don't know what that is.
Well, good. Well, yeah, because if we know what it is, then Barry would know, right? So we have to,
right,
kind of
block
the story with Barry.
That whole,
so we have to.
Yeah, that's a weird paradigm there.
So I like this idea. I think that's a good I think that's a pretty good speculation.
And if
so we'll see how much of it comes together.
Right. And if we see HR on the roof with the gun, we might actually get a Bajuka Joe like you're talking about. So,
hey, yeah,
Joe,
there you
could
go. See?
Be somewhere else with the real weapon, and HR's got the not real weapon or something. Or maybe they both
or
have
they're
real
just
weapons.
Gonna, yeah. Or they'll just get, you know, bubblegum on the sidewalk and Savitar gets stuck. And Bazooka
Ooh,
Joe saves the day.
Oh, I've stepped in it now.
All right. So, well, hey, let's talk a little bit about Caitlin.
Ah, Caitlin.
First of all, it really surprised me, shocked me that she came back at all, right? Because now Savitar's lost his memory, and you know he doesn't know who she is. He's just like, well, what? So Barry wakes up and thinks he's in a dentist's office. Where does Savitar think he is?
I don't
know. He's like, oh, what is this?
So not only did he lose his memory, but then he wasn't able to make new memories, I guess. Because that's what they were saying they were really going to do is just basically block him from making new memories. So, you know, I think if this had worked perfectly, Barry would have known everything up to the moment that they zapped him. And then he just wouldn't remember anything after that. It would be like in Multiplicity, like the copy of the copy of the copy. Hey, thief.
Hi, thief.
He's just a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
So the fact that, you know, they screwed this up and basically he doesn't know who he is. So Savitar has now not been making memories for eons or something. Yeah. Like, what does he think? I mean, no wonder he's angry. But yeah, they kind of stepped in it. So I think, I mean, Caitlin came back because ostensibly she is with this villain because he has promised her things, right? You know, it's like he doesn't want to change her. He doesn't want to be her friend. It's just, you know, someone that's broken that she can tell. You know, she knows who it is, obviously, that's broken and as alone as she is. And she feels like if I hang out with people like that, then I'll feel better, I guess. I don't know. But I'm actually wondering if Caitlin isn't faking the whole thing as well. Not necessarily faking, but wanting to be with Savitar because so she's pushed everybody away because she has kind of figured something out. And she's pushed everyone away so that she can get close to Savitar and then she'll be instrumental in helping because she's always been there helping Barry. It's just that I had to make you guys think that I was bad so that I could, you know, work this out.
Yeah, there's so many physical clues on her that kind of indicate that she's not faking that. And you know, until this week I might have gone along with that idea, but after kind of seeing how she reacted to Sisko,
like the story,
his, reminiscing, you know, that he did, and it kind of affected her. I think that's what's going to be key. The love he sees, she might see sacrifice or something. She might see Barry really fighting to save Iris, or the you know, maybe if Iris is to die or fake Iris or whatever happens, maybe she'll see that compassion that he has for her and the desperation, and that'll do it. Or something, I think, is going to push her back where she'll still have her powers and yet she'll be in control as well.
Because her, you know, we saw her eyes switch right there at the end and everything, right?
Right, and kind of her expression even, you know? I mean, the whole first half of the season, she was fighting. She was holding back the darkness. She was trying to keep it from taking control. And now she's doing just the opposite. She's trying to keep the light from coming back. She's doing whatever she can to not be good. So she needs to find the balance, you know, to understand that the strong emotions that she has are her. They're inside of her. They're okay. You just are able to control them, which doesn't mean keep them hidden. It means deal with them, right?
Yeah. Barry's going to shove her down. Back in the mud, scum queen.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
So I think
I can see it going either way there. That's one of my harder ones to believe in. Whenever they resolve this portion of the storyline, whether it's this season or next season, I just want them to deal with this characterization a little bit because I still feel it's the change was too dramatic or something. Like I need a little bit more explanation.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. There's a lot of opportunities there for them to really develop this character. I hope you're right. I hope they do dig deeper and kind of make her, I don't want to say a focus, but, you know, kind of a beeline story focus, where she's dealing with this, but not necessarily having to be the villain, but more like dealing with controlling her powers and using her powers.
And repercussions and stuff like that. So,
right. Yeah. Right. Because that's good storyline. This, you know, the reason that a lot of people, okay, well, let me back up. The reason a lot of people didn't like this episode was because it acted like a filler episode, you know?
Exactly.
By the end, they were back where they started. It didn't progress the Savitar story forward. Well, the reason people did like the episode was because it was an episode that talked about our characters and gave new things for our characters to deal with and to think about. And Iris coming to terms with, wow, yeah, you know what? She really does miss that lighthearted Barry that didn't always take everything on his shoulders. It dealt with Julian really confronting his love for Caitlin and her telling him she doesn't love him. She never loved him and how he feels about that.
Through her teeth there.
Oh, I agree completely. I hope he can see that, but he probably doesn't. You know, it dealt with Cisco's love for Caitlin, you know, as a good friend and a sister like figure. And you know, it just dealt with all of these character issues. And that's what made it a good episode. Well, it wasn't as action packed of an episode as some people like, but you know, I argue that if you did that every single week, the series wouldn't have as much merit and as much quality as it does, because it would get boring, you know, from week to week. I just don't think it could sustain itself that long. So, and I'm not trying to make excuses. If you didn't like it, you didn't like it. But those are the reasons that I liked it, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't feel as if it was a filler episode. It was just more character development and getting them ready to deal with this. So
yeah,
to deal with the ultimate fight.
I had some coworkers that were, you know, it's like, this is like the fourth filler episode in the last, you know, eight episodes or whatever. It's, which is kind of true. But I enjoyed it more than a lot of people did. I think for a number of the reasons you pointed out, there were a lot of funny bits in here, you know, Barry asking Wally, how do I know you? And he's like, oh, we're brothers. And Barry just kind of looks at the color of his hand and rolls his eyes up, and so, you know, things like that. I thought that was fun. It's you know, that kind of awkward humor is enjoyable and stuff like this, but I don't want it to be this every week, which I know it, you know, it's not going to be and stuff, but I feel like they're back on track a little bit. I just would have liked to have this episode, you know, I don't know, six episodes ago, let's say.
But yeah, that probably would have worked as well.
Yeah.
So I will have to point out that I'm very glad that I don't work at a job where they could randomly place electric shockers in my hood and just decide at a moment's notice to go ahead and shock my brain.
To zap you, huh? Well, at least not yet.
Yeah, good point. I think he probably got back to Star Labs and go, can you take these out now? Because, okay, it worked good. Thanks, all that. But I don't want them in there anymore. That was good. Hey, do you think that that Tracy Brand will stick around? I know we talked a little bit about this the last week, but now that she's getting kind of close to HR, I'm feeling like maybe we got a new character for next season.
I feel the exact opposite. Now she's getting closer to HR. She's out of here in like two episodes.
No, could be.
I still want him to bring Patty Spivot back. I know, and I've kind of given up on that because I think the actress is on another show, another series now. But I don't know. It's interesting seeing HR in this kind of – in this light, right, in this romantic light, because it's awkward and it's painful, but it's also sweet. You know, it's really innocent, because they're both kind of dingbats in their own way, right? So it works. I like I said, I'm growing on HR, or HR is growing on me now. I don't want to. Maybe I am growing on him. I don't know. but, you know, now that I've kind of realized, wait a second, Tom Cavanaugh. This is Tom Cavanaugh, and he's an amazing actor, where I seem to have forgotten that for a while. This is another way to explore a new avenue of this character. And if this, is the HR character, if this is the Wells character that we, I don't want to say get stuck with, but that we have with us and we don't really swap him out every season, then I'm happy to explore this for a little while. Let's see what we can get out of this. But I just don't want them to decide that they need to be a couple by episode 6 of next season or whatever, and then really try to shoehorn it. Let's just go with it and see what happens week to week and how the chemistry of the actors are working and as the characters are working. And if it seems like something that is going to work, let's go ahead and try it. And if it doesn't, let's not force it. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. So, well, now that we're, well, back to pretty much where we started and closer to Iris's death week, you know, we'll see what happens next week. I do know that we're going to get a little King Shark.
Yeah.
So I know that we're always a fan of that. They are apparently holding him with something that's stronger than the sun. So,
well, I mean, really, what better way to protect it, right? I mean,
that's true.
Is it that they're storing it with him or him with it, right? So that's kind of what it comes down to. Also,
that's a good point.
I meant to ask. I know next week is not the season finale, but are you doing a season finale party? Because I was, you know, you could have like a little shark dip or something like that. You know, shark fin soup or something like that. If he's going to be
a good idea.
Because he may be in the beginning of the season finale as well. So.
That is a great – man, I tell you what. If I can pull that together, I would love to do that. That is a very busy week for me with weddings, graduations, report cards, end of school, and all kinds of stuff. So if I can get it together, I would love to do it because I love having those flash parties.
If anybody can do it, it would be your wife. So
we'll see. We'll see what she's got on her calendar. So,
and I'm never invited over ever again. So.
Oh, no, it's okay. No, you know, you're always invited. So I don't think she listens. So it's all good. there was quite a few little, silly quick references this week that I wanted to go over, real quick. And, I did not know this first one. I'm going to let you start. So you got to explain to me about this thing that King Shark's guarding.
Yeah. So the thing that King Shark's guarding, everybody's like, oh, wow, what is this weird thing? Well, it's the, I'm calling it the Eradicator because that's what it looks like from the comics, but it's the Dominator's device from the crossover episode that, it was like the force field device that Supergirl had to stop. It's the thing the Dominator set up in the old warehouse and that everybody was fighting while you had the Legends or whoever was mind controlled by the Dominators fighting against the heroes. And this is what they were fighting for. So obviously Argus took it and, I guess based on what we know from Arrow, these last few episodes, Lila Diggle, who has been making very questionable moral choices, obviously does think it's okay to keep this very dangerous device with King Shark. So I'm sure that'll.
Well, what are you going to do with it? I mean, there's.
I don't know. You gotta, like, shoot it into the sun? I don't know. They're only saying that it's really dangerous and it's. What is it? 1.21 gigawatts? No. 3.86 joules. I'm sure your brother could tell us if the number that they gave is really dangerous and really is more powerful than the sun, or it can be like there was another number that was given at some point, I think, on the show where, you know, it was like the effect of like basically four butterflies flapping. It wasn't really that powerful a number, but they made it sound.
Oh, right. That's right. I remember that.
Like a big deal. So.
Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder if anybody knows. Let us know. I'd like to know if this thing is really as bad as they're saying, man. Oh, and how are they going to use, you know, how are they going to control it inside that bazooka? But
well, they'd probably take the jewel piece or whatever that, you know, the red thing out of it. Because the bazooka is pretty big, so I can imagine that egg, like, fits inside like a, like a battery, I guess, or something.
Oh, sure. And they're just gonna focus that energy right out of that bazooka.
Right.
Bazooka is made out of aluminum, maybe, or steel, I guess.
I don't know. Basically, the hardest part is getting the Eradicator to USB adapter. That is the thing that I don't know how they're going to manage, because I don't think they have that at Amazon. But whatever. No. They're geniuses. No,
that's right. They just use a little copper wire and duct tape. It should be good. They'll MacGyver it. It should be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Okay, so there was also a reference to, good Barry, bad Barry. So to the Star Trek idea of good Kirk and bad Kirk. Although bad Barry had the scar and not the goatee, so I don't.
Well, bad Kirk had a scar, I think. Evil Spock from the other dimension had the goatee.
No, I think bad Kirk got the scar when he was hitting on one of the crewmen.
Oh, right.
I think she scratched him in the eye or something, right? I think that's where he got the scar.
And that's, how you could tell the difference between the two.
That was on the original series, of course, which apparently does not air on Earth 19.
Right. They only get Voyager.
That's right.
Which...
So maybe it's just a Netflix thing. Maybe it just went off for a while.
Yeah. And as far as like the spinoffs go, I'm not a big fan of Voyager either. I can deal with Cisco. Next Generation was good. Deep Space Nine lost me early on, but I came back very strong on that one. And Voyager never really hit it off with me. Yeah. So
we used to have Voyager a viewing gathering, so I have a lot of good memories of Voyager.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah.
Well, how about Steel Magnolias? Do you like Steel Magnolias with?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Who's it?
Or lilies, daisies, any kind of steel flowers. Yeah.
That was a nice reference to that, because Bart thought he was going to get a perm Barry thought he was going to get a perm in the machine, and he's like, no, slow roll, Steel Magnolia.
And then Barry, he decided that a good nickname for Bartholomew Allen would be Bart. And the reason I bring that up is, of course, because Bart Allen is actually a speedster in the comics. And I want to say he's like Barry's grandson. Is that right?
I'm pretty sure. Okay. It's either grandson or great-grandson, but I think it's grandson.
Yeah, I was thinking great-grandson. But anyway, definitely a distant relative in the future who comes back and learns from – I think he learns from Jay. No, it he was from – I thought it was the blue guy, blue and white costume guy.
Right.
You think of his name, but while I tell you, and his, of course, his name, Bart Allen's name was Impulse as a speedster. He's kind of a kid speedster, like a really impulsive kid Flash. So that's where Bart came from. I still can't think of his name. You can't either, can you?
No, I'm trying to look it up, but all I'm getting is pictures of other unrelated people here.
It's so gonna pop.
Go ahead and do the next one, and I'll figure this out here in a minute.
Yeah, so let's see. What was it? HR? That was a Dragon Ball Z fan. Is that who that was?
Barry was a
Barry.
He was in the anime club and really loved Dragon Ball Z. And he's like, I don't know what that is. And Iris is like, I can't explain it to you. So
that would be pretty complicated. Yeah. I know some big Dragon Ball Z fans. So,
and Max Mercury is the guy we're trying to think of.
Max Mercury. Jeez, I can't believe I forgot Max. Sorry, Max.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll make it up to you by learning your speed formula. And then Barry wanted to call himself the Streak, which kind of a reference back to what Iris was calling him in season one.
Yeah. And then, when they were testing Barry's memory at the end of the episode, they were asking him, questions about his mom's maiden name and all this kind of stuff. And then Iris pulls out, the really obscure, when you were in, sixth grade and you took the class hamster, what did you call him or something like that? And he called him Alexander Ham Bell.
That's a good one.
That is great. Instead,
I like that name.
He goes, I was 12 or whatever. So it's like, yeah, I thought that was funny. I would name that. I would... definitely name a hamster that if we could keep a hamster alive in this house with a cat and two dogs. So
yeah, we don't do that. So, well, hey, lots of fun references this week, again, showing how this episode was loads of fun. So, but hey, you know what? That is all we've got for this week. We've got to run because we have some more speculating to do before the penultimate episode coming up next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, if you guys enjoyed the episode, please be sure to head over to iTunes. Leave us some feedback. We'd really appreciate that. You can also contact us by email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com or on Twitter at scarletvelocity. And again, congratulations to our winners from our flash bins, of the flash bins from our contest there. And you can also check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/scarletvelocitypodcast.
And you can check out our other shows, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. case files. You can find those at randomchatter.com. And, of course, you can find them in the iTunes store through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure, let your friends know about it. They could come join in on the fun, too. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.